It's putting this on my heart. Have you ever texted somebody and you said, hey, I just want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you, or I care about you and I'm praying for you? You ever do that? And have you ever gotten a response that says, please don't text me anymore? Anybody else been there? I'm the only one. Wow. I've had that a couple times in my life. I guess it's because I'm the preacher. And I thought, wow, you know, that kind of a response you might expect from somebody that is not saved, right? But you wouldn't expect that kind of response from somebody that is saved, somebody that's a Christian. You think, whoa, that was unkind. It was more than unkind. It was kind of unchristian. Have you ever tried to get a hold of somebody and they knew that you were trying to get a hold of them and they just ignored you? Like you sent up maybe a text or two and you knew that they got it, or you tried to call them and they just ignored you forever. Any of you ever have that experience? Okay, me and Penny, a couple of us. Wow. I've had that experience on multiple occasions as well. And I think, wow, that's not just what is it? That's not just unchristian. That's unkind. You know, you think, wow. And I think it's important for us to remember that no matter what, as Christians, we need to communicate kindness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we are to what? Be ye kind, verse 32, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When you think about kindness, sometimes we look at this verse and our life is like this. If they're kind to me, then I'm kind to them. Well, that doesn't say that in the Bible. You might wish it did, but it doesn't. It says we're to be kind one to another. Do you know it's one thing for you to, for you to punch someone in the nose and for them to punch you back, you know? It's another thing for you to say, hey, I didn't really do anything wrong, and I got punched in the nose. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe not, like, you know, not punched in the nose, but out of the blue, all of a sudden, somebody's mad at you, and you think, well, what did I do wrong? Any of you have that experience? Okay, maybe more of you have had that experience. Okay, good. Good. Well, Pastor Joe will eventually have the experience as me as he continues in the ministry longer. He'll be able to raise his hand as well. Okay, but the issue is, and sometimes we think, well, if you're unkind, then that gives me the right to be unkind back. And it really doesn't. And we need to remember to always be kind. You know, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 19 and verse number 22, the desire of a man is his kindness. In Proverbs 31, verse 26, speaking of the virtuous woman there, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. You don't need to raise your hand, but think about this. How many of you have ever been treated in a non-Christian or unkind way by someone that is a Christian? Yeah. Hopefully, no one in this room has ever treated anyone in an unkind way. let me ask this question. How many of you know somebody that when their name comes to mind, they're a Christian, a believer, and their life is kind of characterized by unkind? You say, oh yeah, that person is just mean, or that person is, right? We probably know of people, even Christian people, that characterizes them. And do you know what? When people come to Victory Baptist Church, they should see, and by the way, this is a great time to preach on this topic because no one's guilty, all right? I don't purposefully preach on, unless there was an issue, something stirring, and I felt like we needed to communicate to try to help with an issue. I don't typically necessarily do that. The Lord does that. Sometimes the Lord will put a burden on my heart, and someone will say, did you preach that for me? No, not really. Many times I don't even know what's going on. So in any event, according to me, from what I understand, most all of us are kind, all right? So my unkind text this week didn't come from anybody at Victory Baptist Church, all right? You feel better? Some of you are going to go back and check your text. Did I text him this week? I hope I did. No, it wasn't from Victory Baptist Church. Periodically, by the way, I probably shouldn't chase this rabbit, but I probably will. When pastors talk to pastors, we live in a day and age where people just don't respect authority. And you talk to other pastors, and some of them are going through it. I got a call yesterday from someone, said, "Hey, would you pray for me?" He said, "I'm going into the church with an evangelist friend," and he said, "I'm going into a church situation, and the pastor is just going through it with these, with a particular situation, a member really of his church, and he wants me to sit down and try to mediate this." You'd be surprised the different type texts. Have you ever? I can go thirdly, and then I'll get to our text here. Have you ever been in a store and you've seen a member of Victory Baptist Church or a former member of Victory Baptist Church or maybe somebody that you knew, and they see you and they turn around and walk the other way? Have any of you ever had that happen? Okay, Pastor Drew, my daughter Sarah. Yeah, that happens to me sometimes too in the community. I try to just go up and share the love of Christ and just say, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, why? Because we're Christians. They might not realize that I'm going to be in heaven with them. I might ask the Lord, "Could you sit me over there next to so-and-so?" They were mad at me down there on earth. Kindness is so important. And when people come here, they need to recognize that place is warm and loving and kind. And we may get upset about things, and you know, people, we're all different. We all have different personalities. We all have different challenges in life, and sometimes things kind of can bug us a little. And we need to ask the Lord, "Lord, help me to communicate in kindness." Nobody's saying you have to back off of how you feel, but Lord, help me to communicate in such a way. By the way, when you do you know there's power in submission? Let's look at Pastor Drew, for instance. So Pastor Drew comes into my office. This is make-believe, okay? He's never done this, but let's say that he does. He comes into my office, and I'm studying, and he bangs on the door. Bum, 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 right? And I say hello, and he comes barging in. And he says, "I'm going to tell you something. We need to..." What do we need to do? We need to decorate that auditorium, and here's how we need to do it. And it's just very, like, fleshly. Right? My first inclination, by the way, kids, this is the first inclination your parents have when you come and you're, you know, bulldozing things over, and the same thing, wives and husbands in any relationship, the first thing we see is what? This can't be of the Lord, right? Because of how they're coming across. When we, on the other hand, knock on the door and comes in and say, "Hey, you got a minute? I've been praying about something, thinking about something, but in his case, whatever you think is what I'll do. But here's what I think." You know what you see? You see, maybe this is a servant from the Lord coming to help me. And sometimes God wants to use us in the lives of one another to be a help, but our flesh gets in the way. And so the other person then doesn't receive what we're trying to say. And it may be something that we are right on, or maybe something that the Lord wants us to communicate. And it's important as we interact with one another that we show kindness. So I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture. About 10 years ago, I didn't realize I had preached on the same passage of Scripture. So I wrote this message, looked at it. I said, "Oh, look at this 10 years ago. I have a few different thoughts this evening." And I want to give you a few thoughts concerning kindness, and I want us to see this is a story of David and kindness that he showed, that he didn't have to. And I want you to see here tonight, as we look at being kind one to another, I want us to see that kindness flows from a life, number one, that is appreciative. Let's look at this story, 2 Samuel 9 and verse 1. "And David said, 'Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?' And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, 'Art thou Ziba?' And he said, 'Thy servant is he.' And the king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness of God unto him?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet.' And the king said unto him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodibar. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodibar. And we'll look at the rest of this in just a minute. What does he do? He brings him back to his house. There was nothing. Let me just finish this, and then we'll go into the story. All right. So let's read. Where are we here? Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And you look at this passage of Scripture, and we see in David a desire to show kindness to the house of Saul. Kindness flows, as I said already, from a life that is appreciative. You know, there was nothing that Mephibosheth could do to inherit or to merit, if you would, kindness. As a matter of fact, he really had many things going against him. His house, his family, was really an enemy of David. Saul had spent much of his time trying to kill David. The house of Saul was such that was cursed by God. God told Saul, Thy kingdom will not continue. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read the passage where God had rejected Saul. Mephibosheth had some physical disabilities. He was handicapped in both legs. And this would hinder a normal living since he was 5 years old and he was carried by a nurse to escape death. And fell. One commentator said this, there's nothing in Saul's survivor, Mephibosheth, to commend him unto royal favor. But David found a reason outside of him in the bond of love and friendship which existed between his heart and Jonathan's. When you think about the relationship that Jonathan and David had, it was a close friendship. David loved Jonathan. David appreciated Jonathan. Jonathan protected David on a number of occasions, and their friendship was deep. And David's desire to show kindness to the house of Saul stemmed from an appreciative heart for what Jonathan had been to David and had done for David. I'm convinced that one of the reasons we lack in the area of being kind one to another, it's because we are not appreciative of the things and the people that God has brought in our life. If we embrace an entitlement mentality, we find it a challenge sometimes to be appreciative. Where would you be without the people that God has placed in your life? You know, sometimes we take for granted the individuals, the people. Sarah was telling me last night about a story of a family that was traveling home from a conference in the Lexington, Kentucky area. And there was 4 boys and 2 girls and a mom and a dad, right? And they were driving home and they got in a wreck. And the 4 boys and the dad were killed in the wreck. And the girl, one of the girls, was in the hospital for some time, and she obviously got better. But the funeral was 5 caskets, boom, 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 all in the church. Imagine being the spouse, the wife. Imagine being those 2 girls. You see, you know, the things that we gripe about and fuss about are real small when we get the right perspective. You see, we're not appreciative like we ought to for the people that God has placed in our life, for the goodness of God. You know, just the fact that we live in America ought to cause us to say, yeah, I'm really thankful. I'm really appreciative for where I live and what God has done. I tell you, one of the things that just bugs me, and maybe I can listen to, or all of our young people can listen up a little bit. It really bugs me to hear of young people that have godly parents that love them, that sacrifice for them, that do everything they can to see them succeed, and then they grow up and become teens and young adults and just do their own thing. They decide to be disrespectful and just, I'm going to do my own thing. It's a tragedy. It really is. It's so sad. Sometimes I want to just get them and shake them and say, hey, if it's somebody that I know, sometimes I might call them and say, hey, you know, you got to think about this. We're so self-centered often. We don't appreciate what God has done. We need to learn to be grateful. We need to learn to focus on what we do have and not what we don't have. When I appreciate individuals and the things that God has done into my life, it causes me to be kind and to say, you know what? I want to be thankful. By the way, we ought to be thankful. We got out of the day of thank you notes, handwritten. But that's okay. Send an email. Send a text. Send a card. Tell somebody, hey, I'm thankful. We need to be appreciative. And kindness flows from a heart of appreciation. Number two, when we think about kindness, kindness flows from a life that is godly. A life that is godly. When you look at this text here, we're going to verse number 3. And, of course, verse number 1 was our verse for our first point. I'm sorry that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And so verse 1 is where we were focusing there. Verse number 3, I want you to see here. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Do you know true kindness, real genuine kindness, is only that which comes from God? Our flesh does not like, our flesh likes to react and not respond. It's important for us to make sure when we have injustices and things that come up, it is important for us to get victory in our own soul before we go and confront the situation. So often we're saying, he said that, she did that, give me the phone, let me call him, let me go deal, right? And we often find ourselves responding in the flesh and saying things that we ought not say without having gotten victory in our life. Our flesh does not like to be kind, but reacts against any and all injustices, whether they are perceived or whether they are real. And often injustices are perceived, or we only have one side of the story. And sometimes we have to take time and get more information. But that aspect of the kindness of God. David in 2 Samuel 22 in verse 36 makes an interesting statement concerning himself. It is a song that he sings, if you would, or before he dies. His last words are in the next chapter. But he says this in 2 Samuel 22 in verse 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And now listen to this phrase. He says this, and thy gentleness hath made me great. The aspect of gentleness. Do you know when you read Galatians chapter number 5, we see that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. We think about the aspect of the work of the Spirit of God that indwells us, that is kind to others through us, or that is gentle in our dealings with others through us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, the root word that we find gentleness in Galatians 5 is the same root word as the word for kindness in Ephesians 4 and verse number 32. What are we saying? We're saying it is a fruit of the Spirit, that which the Spirit of God produces in us. You know, kindness is the way that Christ responded to others. and the way that he wants us to respond to others as we allow him to do that through us. Just because we're upset or hurt or frustrated doesn't give us a license to be unkind, to say things unkind, to act in an unkind way. Kindness flows from a life that is appreciative, from a life that is godly. And number three, kindness flows from a life that is loving. When we look at really Bible love is being willing to give with the thought of nothing in return. Now, when David asks the question, who is here from the house of Saul, they tell him, hey, Mephibosheth is, and he lives in this place called Lodebar. Lodebar was a town in Gilead. Gilead is a town located in the northeast side of Jordan. The word means pastureless, or the meaning of the word indicates a place of desolation. It wasn't that he was living high off the hog. He was poor. He didn't have much. His location was desolate. He was a great distance from where David was in Jerusalem. He was a little far away. And David didn't ask Saul's family or the servant there, is there anybody closer? He's kind of, whoa, Lodebar. He's kind of a little ways away. No, he's the only one that's a relative. And so David said, hey, we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to go through the trouble of finding him. We're going to go through the expense of sending men to go and to get him. And we want to do this. Why? Because we want to show kindness to him. David didn't send the servants there to fix up his situation. Here, give him this money and let him stay there. No, his kindness went beyond, above and beyond the call of duty. He said, hey, bring him here with me. Bring him here to live with me. You think about having a handicapped person living with you now. And of course, David had servants and whatnot, but it would be a little bit inconvenient. It would make David's life a little less comfortable, but he says, no, he's going to come with me and he's going to eat at my table. True kindness. When you look at the love, actually the love of Christ, true kindness is sacrificial. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work. It takes being concerned for someone else's needs and someone else's interests above my own. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. By the way, sometimes the way to really, how do I say this in a spiritual term? The Bible says we return evil for good. You know, you say, well, that person, man, they did me wrong. And I want to get them back. If you really want to get them back the best way, say something kind. Do something nice. Say, hey, I brought you a gift. That's what will really do the work. That's what will cause them to be a little bit short-circuited in their brain. Why are you doing this to me? Right? That's what we expect when people are unkind. We expect there to be this evil for evil, if you would. Unkind word for unkind word. But the Bible says, no, don't do that. Overcome evil with good. And boy, that's sometimes is hard for us to practice, isn't it? Sometimes hard for us to say, hey, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to do it. Putting self last, placing others before ourselves. I read a story, I think I shared this a while back, in Philadelphia, there was a little third-class hotel. I have a couple of illustrations, and then we're going to move into the Lord's Supper. It was a third-class hotel, and into the hotel one night came two tired elderly people. They went up to the night clerk, and the husband said, Mister, please don't tell me you don't have a room. My wife and I have been all over the city looking for a place to stay. We didn't know about the big conventions that are here, and the hotels which we normally stay are full. We're dead tired. It's after midnight. Please don't tell us you don't have a place where we can sleep. The clerk looked at them a long moment and then answered, well, I don't have a single room except my own. I work at night and sleep in the daytime. It's not as nice as the other rooms, but it's clean, and I'll be happy for you to be my guest for tonight." The wife said, "God bless you, young man." The next morning at the breakfast table, the couple sent the waiter to tell that night clerk they wanted to see him on very important business. The night clerk went in, recognized the two people, sat down at the table, and said he hoped they had had a good night's sleep. They thanked him most sincerely. Then the husband astounded the clerk with this statement, "You are too fine a hotel man to stay in a hotel like this. How would you like for me to build a big, beautiful, luxurious hotel in the city of New York and make you general manager?" The clerk didn't know what to say. He thought there might be something wrong with their minds. He finally stammered, "It sounds wonderful." His guest then introduced himself. "I am John Jacob Astor." So the Waldorf Astoria Hotel was built. And the night clerk became, in the years to follow, the best hotel man in the world. In 1976, the 47-story hotel served 750,000 guests in 1,900 rooms. The man was promoted. Why? Because of his kindness. A Yale University president gave this advice to a former president of Ohio State. "Always be kind to your A and B students. Someday one of them will return to your campus as a good professor. And also be kind to your C students. Someday one of them will return and build you a $2 million science laboratory." Someone said this, and I'll conclude with this. "Is anybody happier because you passed his way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? The day is almost over and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a friendly word for you? Can you say tonight in passing, with the days that slip so fast, that you helped a single person of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does one whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or poorly spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent?" May God help us to be kind to others, no matter what, to respond as Christ would have us to respond. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you that you enable us to be kind.